2020. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And I am broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, as always. It's very cold. It's very windy. I think that winter, it feels like winter rather than just fall. I'm really glad that you join me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I also ask that you visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net and ScreeningSandyHook.net. I repeat this just about every week. Well, no, every week. I tell everyone how they can visit the chat room. I tell everyone how you can visit my website so that you can see the radio schedule. And when you look at the radio schedule, it's a button on my website. My website is spingola.com. S-P-I-N-G-O-L-A. Spingola.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you will see a button that says Radio Schedule Button. You click that button and you will see all of the guests that I have ever had on the program for the last 10 years. I celebrate my 10th anniversary with Republic on the 23rd of this month. And so you can see everyone that I've ever had on the program. You can see links to their website. You can see links to relevant topics that they have discussed. You can visit their websites. You can interact with them, email them, or whatever. So that's all you have to do is visit spingola.com and click on that radio schedule button on the left-hand side of the page. I have also names of the future guests that I'm going to have. As soon as I schedule someone for a program, I put their name there. I put their name in the schedule so that you can anticipate who you would like to listen to. And hopefully, it's everybody that I schedule, because I schedule some of the greatest guests. I have interviewed so many wonderful people on a variety of topics. And so they're there. All the information is there. And today I have a guest that I haven't had on for a while. I have no idea why. She's just fabulous. She's full of information. She's bright, intelligent, informative. Her name is Vicki Davis. She has two websites that are very, very interesting. They are channelingreality.com and The Technocratic Tyranny. And this is particularly interesting because of what's going on. Today, this week, even more than last week, it just seems like, it's just exploding. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Thank you very much for the very kind introduction.
Well, it's well-deserved. I'm not making stuff up. You're exactly as I stated. You're terrific.
Well, thank you. I try. I'm doing my best to really understand what is going on in the world, you know, and that's kind of how it got started as a kind of personal journey, and it just expanded, mushroomed out to a nightmare world that we see today.
I know. That's how we all started questioning at some point in time about what the heck was going on, and it just kept getting worse, and you think how much worse could it get now with this COVID thing, which is extremely interesting, unbelievable. We have no flu deaths this year, though. Isn't that terrific? All the flu deaths went away. So COVID was the answer for the flu deaths. That's fabulous.
Uh-huh. Yeah, COVID is pretty convenient for the beginning of implementation of the totalitarian management system, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
Where they control everything, you know, to tell you what you can do, what you can't do. And conveniently, the people that are in charge are not elected people. They're public health people.
Right.
And so there's really no way to get at them to get them out of office because they're not in office.
And the people who are in office do not have the guts to get rid of them. Or they were put into office because they don't have the guts to get rid of them.
Yeah, well, if you look at Idaho as an example, the biggest part of Idaho's budget are the social programs, you know, the federal government funding social programs. And Idaho is divided up into seven public health districts, and it's the health districts that actually use that money for the social service programs. So, right through that system, they have a built-in constituency for the socialist programs. And the politicians, of course, they want that money coming into the state. So it's like they used this unelected system of public health officials to, in a backdoor way, buy off our elected officials.
Right. And it didn't happen overnight, with the Affordable Health Care Act, with all the things that have happened, well, basically since Medicare.
Yes.
And when people think, oh, this is wonderful, the government is going to help us do this or pay for this. And it used to be that when that doctors you had interaction with your doctor, was one-on-one. The healthcare costs have risen 1,000 times. And now all of a sudden the government is in charge of your body. And with the Affordable Healthcare Act, they actually own your body. And people don't understand that. They think, oh, what a wonderful thing that we are. They think that they're entitled to health care when in fact they're not. The government is entitled to tell you what you can do or to force you into doing things that you would never have thought of doing before.
Yeah, and in the legislation that passed, the idea was to have a health care manager that will direct your health care, you know, what health care you get and what you don't get. Now they used the example of a senior citizen, and you know, you can kind of see that because senior citizens they see all different kinds of doctors, and they have, you know, a lot of them have half a dozen different kinds of medications. And so perhaps they need a health care manager. But actually, I do believe that the idea was to have the health care manager manage everybody's health care.
Right.
And in that way, they can direct you to specific locations, you know, for the health care that you would get. There's a lot of things that you can do with a system, the way that they've designed it, that and some of them, in my opinion, the one that I saw is a crime against humanity. But there's a lot of things that you can do with a system like that. Like you can, if the society, if they decide that a person is worth saving, they can route that person to a good doctor. If they think that person is not worth saving, they route it to another doctor who might actually be a Dr. Kevorkian or something.
Yeah, oh yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, things are not really what they seem to be with the Affordable Care Act. And they haven't been, you know, from the beginning. Like their focus on wellness. Think about the logic of this. In that legislation, they were focusing on wellness rather than on sickness.
Right.
Well, people that are well, they don't need the health care system. It's the sick people that need the health care system. So it's like they flipped everything upside down. Nothing makes sense. I mean, why would you have a health care system for healthy people? Doesn't compute.
Right.
So,
Right.
but it seems like that everything, just about everything that's going on in this country is flipping things upside down. In such a way that instead of a revolution, they're really having a devolution. Breaking
Indeed.
apart the nation state system, breaking apart our system of government. And I think actually they are trying to break it all the way down to start over from a system of like the Roman city state,
Right.
a system of independent jurisdictions that are all connected to the global system, because a major factor in it is, of course, technology and what you can do with technology.
Right.
And so, for the internationalists, I have no doubt whatsoever that they consider the national government to be redundant.
Right.
From their point of view, why do you need a national government when we're up here and we can have uniform policies for the entire world, the world
Right.
over?
A global government, a one world order.
Yeah, and the fact that every jurisdiction, even within countries, every jurisdiction is different, makes no difference to them, because the idea is totalitarian control from the international level down to the ground. So it's I'm sure you've had I don't know if you've had Charlotte Isherbide on, but I'm sure you've had people
I
on who,
have. It's been a long time.
yeah, I'm sure you've had people on that talked about outcome-based education.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
We've talked about Common Core and all of that. It's just the change in education from when I went to school. Which
Yeah.
has been quite some time. It's
Well,
just totally different. And people are not learning the same things. They're not concentrating on the basic education. And then you also have within the classrooms, you have teachers who are saying, "Oh, this young man he has a problem. He's overactive." So you have a lot of children who are on medications that are destroying them, that are really setting them up to go on even more medications later on. It's terrible. And we've become a medicalized nation,
Yes.
which can go off on another track altogether, which also has to do with healthcare.
It
That
does.
it's that this healthcare situation or health management or sickness management is it's like a tarantula that's got its tentacles in everywhere, whether you're talking school, whether you're talking anywhere. It's just terrible. Anything that the government licenses, they can control.
Yes. And if you lose your license, then you lose your ability to make a living. So it's kind of like a chain. If
Right.
they license you, it's a chain on you.
Right. Exactly. And everything is licensed. And so, for instance, with this COVID nonsense, if you do not require a mask or if you change or alter in any way, they can take your license away. And so they really have people really. It's terrible, but when you think of all the people that need licenses, and not just hospitals, nursing homes, memory care facilities, we're talking Well, doctors are licensed, nurses are licensed, restaurants are licensed. Everybody has to have a license. You have to have a license to drive. You have to have a license to get married. It didn't used to be that way.
Yeah, government permission.
Right, and we've incrementally accepted these.
Well, the thing is, when they implemented those licensing programs, there was a good reason to do it. I don't think anybody ever conceived of a time when they would use that in the way that it's been used, which is for extortion purposes, either accept our totalitarian system based on BS, or you won't be able to make a living.
Right.
So, because, and I say that because I don't disagree with licenses in a lot of areas, like physicians, like barbers and beauty shops, and anything that has to do with food or sanitation, or if they can really hurt you. Like you wouldn't want the local butcher standing in for a surgeon.
Which they
I mean,
used
he
to
might be
do.
a good cutter, but I don't think you want him cutting on your body,
But it used to be that the barber was also a surgeon. So I don't know. It just seems like if you accept a little bit of something, like, oh, let's license a doctor, then all of a sudden it's incremental, and pretty soon everybody has a license to live. If you're not obedient, then well, there goes your livelihood, and especially well in the healthcare situation, healthcare industry or sickness care industry, that was all altered years ago by Rockefeller, and before that. There were all kinds of traditional, real health care situations, but that was altered, and that's when things started to change, where people had to get a license, and only certain medical schools were approved, and this was with the report. What was the name of that report? Abraham, somebody did this report. It was paid for by the Carnegie Institution, and then all of a sudden, things changed, and
Well, that's when they started using chemistry to mix up concoctions. And
right.
it makes sense that it would be a Rockefeller that did that because he was a snake oil salesman.
Exactly. Yes, that's what he was.
Yeah, but and what they've done with the medical profession is to bring in a lot of Latin and Greek words. And I was talking to a doctor one time, and it was about, I can't remember what the ailment was, but if it occurred in one section of the body, they called it one thing, but if it occurred the same illness, the same problem, if it occurred in a different part of the body, they called it something different. And that to me seems like really fraudulent. If you call it one thing for one part of the body, it should be the same thing in another part, right?
Exactly. All righty, we are going on a break. We will be right back, so stay with us. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good.
All righty, we are back. Our guest today is Vicki Davis. Her websites are channelingreality.com and The Technocratic Tyranny. We're talking about licenses and medical care and I was the Flexner Report, which the Carnegie Institute paid for, altered everything. And before that, there were other modalities, medical modalities, that had been in place for thousands of years. I'm a big Deepak Chopra fan, and he said that when he first went to medical school, he said that they taught some very interesting things, as if the body is a machine that's assembled from moving parts, and that it wears out over time, and that, oh, one thing that he said the body, or what they said, what allopathic medical school said or claimed, is that the body is at constant risk for contamination and disease. A hostile environment teems with invading germs and viruses waiting to overwhelm the body's immune defenses. And he was just, he looked at this and tried to figure it out, and he said, what about the spiritual part of humanity? What about hopes, emotions, aspirations, love, and suffering? Machines don't lead such lives. And a group of organs, a collection of organs, don't lead such lives. There is more. There's a more meaningful life if you look at the body holistically, which is what traditional medicine did. And then allopathic medicine came along with what you said before we went to break, with their chemicals from the snake oil salesman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they basically dehumanized everything in the society today since they moved into the technological era, actually before that, maybe. I'm not sure when that Flexner report was written.
1910.
Okay, well, that was like at the beginning or middle right. of the industrial era, right?
Right.
And so they began looking at everything as if it was a machine.
Right.
And you know, with machines and with assembly line processes, division of labor, it really, that is a they dehumanized humans, and things have been getting progressively worse ever since. Right. And I've started calling this era that we're in now the post-human era, because as they design more and more systems to control every aspect of our lives, they are dehumanizing. They're programming our lives, you know, the schedule and the they're programming the schedule of your life. Now, we're a little bit too old for it, but for the children that are born today, their lives will be totally programmed.
Right.
And managed.
Exactly.
And it's by, you could say by algorithm. I really don't like saying by algorithm or using the term artificial intelligence, so, because what they have are programs that they analyze things statistically and then you know, produce reports with the results. And depending upon that analysis is where they are going to put you, you know, for your career, or, you know, make the decisions for you. So I guess you could call it artificial intelligence, but I don't like calling it that, because it's anything that runs on a computer is a program. A programmer wrote it. It's code. And a programmer can change it. So there's no the only intelligence really is in the programmer who wrote it.
Right. Right. Let me just share an email that just came in. The actual or original meaning of the word license is not merely permission, but permission to do something illegal, thanks to Clint Richardson. Remember the tagline for Bond movies, 007, License to Kill. Now, I don't think that I wouldn't wholly accept that, because getting married is certainly not illegal. But if you license something that people were ordinarily doing to begin with, well, it's just kind of strange. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All righty, we are back with our guest, Vicki Davis. Her websites are channelingreality.com and The Technocratic Tyranny. And it's just that is so true what is going on, and it just seems that there are a lot of people who are awake to this, that even understand or can see the COVID situation as a scam, and yet there are people who are really believing that this is occurring. I just can't imagine. I can't believe that there are so many people who buy into this.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend who's compiling a report on the statistics, the reporting, and she's gathered articles from all around the country, and there is no consistency in the data that they are collecting. If you have, you know, from one hospital to the next hospital to the next hospital, and they are all defining a case differently, then your report has no, your report is garbage.
Right.
Because they're not all reporting the same thing.
And the hospitals get money, what is it, $13,000, if they report, if somebody got run over by a car, they report it as a COVID death, the hospital makes money. $13,000. And then you have the New York situation where I believe what was going on there is because the states have to pay Medicaid, they have to pay a large proportion of that charge. And I believe that in order to cut back on their cash flow, or to increase their cash flow, or to get out of debt, I believe that the governor there actually caused the death of a lot of the elderly people.
Yeah, by moving COVID patients into the nursing homes.
Yes, where they're not prepared and unprepared for anything like that. Because when you're in a nursing home or a memory care situation, if you have something wrong, if you have bladder infection or anything like that, you are sent out to the hospital. Because a nursing home, they just have a facility doctor and some attendants, but they're equipped to take care of somebody that is ill.
Yeah, and when you have an illness that is flu-like, they don't want to call it the flu, but it's flu-like, you put people like that into a senior care center, you're absolutely, you're killing people, you're murdering people is what
exactly.
It is, because mm-hmm. they are the most vulnerable
right.
in terms of, catching things like that. So, yeah, I consider what Andrew Cuomo did a crime against humanity.
Oh, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. Absolutely.
Yep. If you kill 30,000 people, that's a crime against humanity.
It is.
But what is it that the government is really paying them for? They're paying them. It's bribery to keep the scam going, is what it is.
Right.
And in the reports where they are reporting the statistics, the number of cases, they don't have a way to report if a person tests negative and positive this time and then negative the next time and then positive the next time. There's no way to differentiate.
Right.
And they don't report, they don't keep track of what test it is that is being reported on. So if you have, three hospitals using this one test by this one manufacturer and these other hospitals are using a different test, your statistics aren't valid because you're not reporting the same thing. So the whole thing is a fraud. It's just a fraud. And so, when somebody is instituting a fraud as massive as this, there has to be another objective, right?
Sure, especially because it's worldwide.
Yes. And so what is the major fraud? Well, I agree with a lot of people that it is the World Economic Forum's Great Reset.
Right.
I think it's the time when they are resetting the economic basis of the world. You know, I thought for a long time, I wrote in about 2009 that they were changing the economic basis such that they would make a system of value based on energy inputs. You know, how much energy goes into something. At this point, I don't think that's quite right. The idea I got from my research, I do believe is right. That they are changing the basis of valuation, flipping it. And the reason why they're doing that is because of the, I'll just say Agenda 21 because everybody knows what Agenda 21 is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on the idea that the resources of the world are finite. So if the world's economic system is based on the use of resources, then you are incentivizing the use of those resources that are finite. So they were trying to flip that over on its head in such a way that the use of resources is not penalized, but becomes very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, but that, you know, that turns everything on its head. And it's what I was saying about devolution. If you are returning to a system whereby manpower is the source of value, by definition, what you are doing is reversing the clock of history. I don't know how you'd say it, but you know, you're just sending us back in time to a primitive and earlier era. Now, how many people are going to die doing that? Right. I would say a lot.
Right. A lot of people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are going to die. The value of a nation, or the productivity, or the richness, the wealth of a nation is based on the productivity of its people. And you're saying that there's only a limited amount of resources. And right after the Civil War, very soon after the Civil War, the corporations really took on the privileges or the rights of individuals. And so corporations were given the ability to do many. So we became a corporatocracy or a corporation. The nation became a corporation. We're not a country, we're a corporation. And the current CEO is Donald Trump. And so everything is being run not as a nation of people, of individuals, but as a corporation that takes advantage of every individual in that company, in that corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I would put it a little differently.
Okay.
In how it evolved. From what I saw, it looked to me as if they are trying to separate the economy from the political system, with the political system being, of course, the system that interacts with people.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of citizenship, elections, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What they tried to do with these trade agreements is to separate. Now, and when I say trade agreements, I really shouldn't say trade agreements, but I mean with the international system of trade, because it started, of course, before the 1960s when they started with these trade agreements.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, to harmonize and to build the international system. But it seemed to me that what the objective was to separate economic activity from the political system of a country, which, when you think about it, it makes no sense at all, because a country, a political system, can't function without money, without production, without, you know, what you do when what they did is to turn the government into just nothing but a personnel management system, and only concerned with health, education, and welfare and incarceration. Like one governor, I think it was from Montana, educate, medicate, and incarcerate.
Wow. Man,
if I'd have been in that office, I probably would have, I would have slugged wanted him. To punch him in the face.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, but, and the reason why I say that, it goes back to World War II, the post World War II period and the rebuilding of Europe. You know, they...
Which was a big scam.
It was a big scam. And there's one speech that... And I found this. I've been... It's so interesting to me, you know, what I find, because I start out with, you know, researching one thing, and that one, I'll read something, and that will refer me back to something older. And mm-hmm. so I've worked my way back to Winston Churchill.
Oh, and my and, least favorite people.
Yeah, well, and with good reason, and I'm quickly coming on to that opinion. He was the first Lord of the Admiralty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
At the same time as FDR was the first, held that position in this country. They worked together for a very long time.
Was FDR an admiral in the Navy?
No, no.
Was he a leader of the Port Authority of New York?
No, no. But he was in the same position. Churchill was in charge he wasn't on a ship. He wasn't leading anything, but he was in charge of naval operations, which is the same position that FDR was here in this country. And so they knew each other for a very long time, before World War II.
Okay. All right. Well,
they're both skunks.
They are.
Well, no, and not they're both really awful people. I had a skunk when I was a child, and they're very, very sweet, pleasant little animals. So I don't want to call him a skunk. He was deodorized, so he didn't know he was, but he was. But anyway, that's another topic altogether.
It was FDR and Winston Churchill, of course, who came up with the idea. They signed the Atlantic Charter to create the UN. But Winston Churchill gave a really interesting speech, and it was on March 21st, 1943. It was to the British Parliament, and it was kind of like a State of the Union speech. Mm-hmm. And in that speech, he mentioned creating a Council of Europe.
Mm.
Well, if you go look at the Council of Europe website and look at their history, it was that organization where the concept of trade, international trade, was born. And it started out with the Coal and Steel Treaty, with the idea of creating a United States of Europe. And so, first of all, they had to conjoin integrating the governments of the European nation states into a single entity. They established a regional organization, the European Commission. But the Council of Europe, with its origins in the idea of creating a community / market, you know, as being separate from the political entities, the political nation state system that had been established by the Westphalian Treaty. And so that's where that idea originated. And it was in 1943 when Winston Churchill proposed that to the British Parliament. He also talked about what were they going to do after the war for an income. And Churchill talked about insurance, social insurance. And the law of averages and all of that. And interestingly enough, could be a coincidence, I don't know, but it was in, 1946 when the Social Security system in its current form was established. And so, you know, Churchill's over there in 1943 talking about, you know, pooling the money of all the people for a social insurance system. And coincidentally, that's what FDR did here. So, or I don't know if FDR, I think it was FDR that did that. If not, it was in the works, in the planning. Moving from a system of old age care for widows and children to the modern day Social Security system. So it makes me wonder, you know, where did all that money go? Was that the money that they used for the Marshall Plan? I don't know, but it's an interesting thought that somebody should probably research sometime.
Right. Well, the Marshall Plan was really a kind of an amazing thing. It's the same thing that that happened with Iraq, where you go in and you destroy a country or several countries, and then you offer the country loans to rebuild their country, high-priced loans to rebuild the country, and then they're in debt to you, and oftentimes the people that are supposed to be rebuilding never rebuild, which occurred in Iraq and in several European countries after World War II, that they just, you know, they took out loans or they became indebted to rebuild their country after the Allies destroyed them. Yes. It's quite a situation, quite a way to earn money. Destroying countries, destroying people, murdering people, citizens, innocent children.
I think that's the British method of empire.
It always had been. In India, early on in the 1700s, they were starving people. So there's always a way of getting rid of people simply because they can. Because they, well, that's what they did. They starved people. The Holodomor, starvation under Stalin. This was deliberate. And I do believe, I hate to even think of it, but with this COVID nonsense, a lot of crops have been plowed under, a lot of cows have been destroyed, a lot of chickens, pigs have been destroyed because the people were not there to process food. And because, oh, they had COVID, so they couldn't work side by side doing what they usually do. We are going to face some hunger in the near future. Uh-huh. I do believe that.
Yeah, I think it's the implementation of the British system.
Yes.
There are other things, too, that I found a speech given by Alan Greenspan. It was probably one of the most interesting speeches that I've heard, because you don't, at least, you know, when I used to listen to Greenspan, he rarely ever talked about his thoughts and things that he discovered. Usually it was just all about the Fed, you know, and whatever. Mm-hmm. But in this particular event where he was speaking, he talked about Winston Churchill's speech, the one that's called the Iron Curtain speech, the sinews of, what is it, the sinews of something or other. Anyway, it's called the Iron Curtain speech. I have it on my website. I have a link to it on my website. He was talking about what Winston Churchill said in that speech. And he said when he went to school for economics, he had never heard of the market state or market economics. Mm. And he adopted the ideology of the market state, which basically is lowering our borders and letting foreigners come in and arbitrage you know, our economy, essentially. But that was from an idea of Winston Churchill, and it dates back to the end of the Cold War, when they divided Western Europe from Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. And he called it a big sociological experiment, or a big economic experiment, between the Western system of economics and the Eastern system of economics. The authoritarian system versus the alleged, you know, Western tradition of individualism and individual incentive and so forth, which I thought was really, really interesting, a really interesting concept, that they would zone off, divide Europe in half for a big economic experiment. And, you know, in continuing to research, I found out that we were cooperating with the Soviets up through 1953, The Atoms for Peace program.
Right, and Lend-Lease and all that other stuff. They would never have succeeded in any way, shape, or form during World War II without American aid. And then after the war, all of a sudden, there was the Cold War, which was also, you know, fake.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it was. And I do think it was a big experiment, you know, so that you could play off one side against the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a TED Talk given by a British, I think the guy had been British Foreign Secretary or something in the British government. And he said, Britain always plays the middle role, always.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a triangulation going on. And Britain always seems to be the puppet master of the game.
Mm-hmm. So, although in 1897, they made a deal with the U.S., that any kind of assets or resources that they stole or acquired from their warfare would be split with the U.S. So the U.S. and Britain are kind of buddies. Buddies in blood. Okay, we're up at the top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.